Our text is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, which we use to introduce our introduction to the epistle. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. As we introduced the Ephesian epistle in our last study, we dealt with the authorship, the Apostle Paul, who in almost every epistle declares his divine call by God and his apostolic authority. And we surveyed his epistles with this in mind. We saw that Paul bore the marks of a God-called man, and what applies to him as an apostle in a very limited way does to every minister, every true preacher who is called by God. Then we noted the destination and the recipients. This was to the Ephesian believers, not to the Ephesian church, but to the Ephesian believers. And we made some observations that I believe were very pertinent to this. I dealt with several people in the closing of our study who had been converted through reading or listening to the epistle to the Ephesians being read. It's to believers. It's to Christians. It is not to unsaved people. And yet at least three people, very noted people, of notable standing in Christian society, were converted either reading or hearing a passage from the book of Ephesians. So whether the Word of God comes to us directly as believers or indirectly as unbelievers, give ear. God may speak saving truth to you, awaken you, and save you, even if the message is to believers. Now we take up the next part of our study, the history of Paul's dealings at Ephesus and with the Ephesians. There are three major passages, all of them in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18, verses 19 through 21. Paul stops at Ephesus for a short time. He intends to return sometime in the future, but he's there for a short time because he wanted to be in Jerusalem for the feast day, and that meant sea and extended travel. He leaves Priscilla and Aquila at Ephesus, and then he journeys back to Palestine and Jerusalem. He returns, and in chapter 19, verse 1, through chapter 20, verse 1, he spends close to 3 years at Ephesus. Was Paul ever a pastor? We know he's an apostle. Was he ever involved in what we would call a pastoral ministry? I believe that he was at Ephesus, where he was daily involved in the ministry for 3 years. And Paul did have a pastor's heart. And God at Ephesus, during this extended stay, wrought a great spiritual awakening under the most unusual circumstances that we will note. The third passage is Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38. This will happen sometime later. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem for the feast at Pentecost, basically sea travel to Antioch and from Antioch to Jerusalem by land. He calls for the Ephesian elders to meet him at Miletus. They have their final meeting. The Holy Spirit witnesses to Paul that he's going to experience bonds, persecution, and possibly death on this trip to Jerusalem. He meets with the Ephesian elders. They weep together. They pray together. And they're very sorrowful that they will probably never see him again. This is his premonition as he meets them for the final time for his final trip to Jerusalem. And that, of course, would be followed by his arrest, his imprisonment at Caesarea for 2 years, and then, of course, his final journey to Rome. Now, Paul established the church at Ephesus with 12 members, and also Aquila and Priscilla that he had left there on his previous journey. These were the individuals, men, who had been baptized and evangelized by Apollos. Apollos was a great man, mighty in the Scriptures, but he knew only the baptism of John. People have used this passage to say that John's baptism was not Christian baptism. My opposition to this is simply this. Paul asked them, he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit when ye believed?" Aorist verb, aorist participle, not since ye believed, not a second work of grace theology. The English version is not that careful with the aorist participle here. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Their answer was, "We know not whether there be such a thing as the Holy Spirit." He says, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" Implying baptism in the name of the Trinity. Trinitarian baptism, Christian baptism. They said, "Unto John's baptism." But had they personally listened to John's ministry, every record we have of John, he declared the truth of the Holy Spirit. "The one coming after me will baptize you in the Spirit and with fire." Evidently, Apollos was preaching an imperfect message, an incomplete message. He was perpetuating something that the Lord had set aside with the fullness of the gospel. Therefore, Paul rebaptized them and established that church. These 12 men with Aquila and Priscilla. So he built upon the ministry of Apollos. Ephesus was a major center for Christianity in the latter part of the first century. It was the headquarters of Timothy after Paul's demise. It was also later the headquarters of the Apostle John, who lived to the end of the century. You must remember the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Christians had fled Jerusalem before then. There was, in the providence of God, can you call the persecution of Christians a divine providence? Of course. Everything happens by divine providence. The Jews persecuted the Christians in the 50s or early 60s AD. Many of them fled, and from Jerusalem through to Antioch, they settled at Ephesus, which was a Roman colonia. And I will explain that in a moment. So they were largely gone from Jerusalem when the Romans came and destroyed the city and crucified on the walls of Jerusalem 1.5 million Jewish men. They destroyed the temple. They set it afire. The gold seeped down, molten between the stones, and fulfilling our Lord's prophecy, not one stone was left upon another. But providentially, through persecution, the Christians were basically gone from Jerusalem at that time. Paul spent much time at Ephesus after his return to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. We find this in Acts chapter 18, verses 20 through 23. Then he returns and he has his almost 3 years of settled ministry. I want to ask you a question. The Bible doesn't say it was the Feast of Pentecost. How do I know then that it was the Feast of Pentecost? Raise your hand if you think you know the answer. I won't call on you. It's safe. It's a rhetorical question. Paul had to travel by sea. The Passover was too early in the sailing year. Too many spring storms. They didn't come to Jerusalem unless they lived close at hand. The annual Day of Atonement was too late in the sailing year. So the Feast of Pentecost became the major feast and the one yearly feast where people traveled all over the Roman Empire by ship, by sailing vessels, through the Mediterranean Sea to Jerusalem. So we take it to be the Feast of Pentecost. And you can see the providence of God the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy on that day of Pentecost when the great revival came through the preaching of Peter. The greatest possible hearing as Jews from all over the Roman Empire were there and became the objects of God's saving grace. Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. Paul initiates his ministry at Ephesus. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, the believers, converted Jews and others, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. We will note this in detail a little later. Ephesus was the central city. Paul used this metropolitan center to evangelize the Roman province of Asia Minor. Whatever occurred in Ephesus would have a residual effect throughout that entire Rome.